I'm loving the pop off.
What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about the NFL draft. It's 2024. It's late April. It's one of my favorite days of the year. I'm Ralph Campiano. I'm your host, and I'm joined by our draft expert, Jack Bethel. Bethel, first time on the pod, man. You've been doing the mock draft for quite some time. What made you want to start doing this? How long have you been doing it for? And yeah, just kind of give an intro to the people.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. I like what you guys are doing. I'm pretty good friends with everyone that comes on this show. But I started myself, I think 2016. I always liked to write, kind of like you, Ralph. Yeah. I like to write, and then I kind of like the NFL as a whole. But I'd say about 2016, about our senior year of high school, I kind of just started really getting into the draft itself. I'm really into free agency. I'm really into the transfer portal, just kind of seeing players going somewhere else is really what I like to do. Especially the transfer portal I'm on. I was just looking at the college basketball one today. So I'm just really into that since 2017. And then I just started writing my own each year. Some years I do too. I'm currently working on my second, so hopefully that'll come out tomorrow, a day before the draft. But I released my first mock of 2024 about a month or so ago. So, I love the draft. I love everything about it. It's some people think it's boring, but I think it's the most fun part of the year, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I'm happy to be here, my man.
Yeah, NBA playoffs, NFL draft. This is my favorite time of the year, personally. Let's start with the quarterbacks, because I think it's a foregone conclusion that Caleb's going one to Chicago. So I want to get your thoughts on him. But in your first mock draft, I almost shit myself when I scrolled to number two and I saw J.J. McCarthy at number two. Is that because you like him more than Daniels and May, or do you have insiders in D.C. that are reporting to you that they like the meditative McCarthy?
Yeah, I really didn't have too much of a reason. No, I actually like Jaden Daniels almost more than Caleb Williams. So to answer your question, I don't know. I think Caleb Williams is a little bit prissy. I think that's what everyone kind of says. He paints his nails, all that fun stuff, but I think he will be good. I will say, just staying on him, then I'll get to the other quarterbacks, Caleb Williams is by far going into the best situation. I mean, the Bears aren't technically supposed to have the first pick, supposed to have, the ninth pick? They have the Panthers pick. So they were 7-10. He's going in. He's got Keenan Allen now. He's got DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. He's got all those guys around him. Then who'd they get running back? They get
DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift, yes, exactly. So he's got a great supporting cast around him. So I think he's going to succeed. I think he's really good. And then I would say Jaden Daniels is my two. And on my next mock, I think I'm going to put Jaden Daniels two, like everyone else is projecting. I just kind of wanted to shake things up a little bit. But the hype on J.J. McCarthy is real, man. It's real. I don't know. I mean, it's tough because I was looking at – I mean, Michigan, for all these guys they're producing for this great season they had last year, J.J. McCarthy's probably the only first-round pick. Maybe Roman Wilson. Maybe the receiver Roman Wilson. But, I mean – so he's got to be doing something right. You know, Jaden Daniels has two first-round receivers, most likely. Actually pretty much a lock. So, yeah, I would say Jaden Daniels is for sure my second. And then, honestly, J.J. and Drake are – I don't know. I think I want to lean Drake over J.J., but I like J.J. McCarthy. So I guess we'll see how it shakes out. But, I mean, 1, 2, 3, I think, are going to be QB, QB, QB. And then fourth, Marvin Harrison. Fifth, everyone's projecting the Vikings to come get J.J., but I mean, we'll see how it shakes out.
Do you think the Caleb to Mahomes comparisons are sacrilegious? Do you see any comparison in the tape? Like, are there similarities there?
Dude, I hate it. And I literally hate it. And I know he's been the first pick for the last 2 years, and deservingly so. He's good, but you can't compare anyone to Mahomes, man. Sure. I mean, no one thought Mahomes was going to be what he is when he came out of Texas Tech. He was what? Like the 10th or 12th pick or whatever it was. Yep. So, I mean, Mitch Trubisky went over him. Like, what the what? So, yeah. I mean, I can see it. You can always see it. But, no. I think comparing Mahomes is so dumb. I forget who it was. I think it was Sims or something that had Caleb Williams already as his top 15 quarterback in the NFL. This man hasn't played a snap. I don't know why we're appointing him as such a good quarterback already. So,
I mean, I think he's tremendously skilled. I love the traits. I talk myself into every quarterback that the Bears take. I did it with Fields. I'm going to do it with him. I'm more confident in him than Fields because he's not a robot. But with Mahomes, I believed in Mahomes. I knew he was going to be good. I never thought he was going to be this good. Nobody did, right? Otherwise, we'd be getting paid a lot of money if we did. But exactly. I think the biggest thing that people don't take into consideration with him is that he landed at the Chiefs, 11th or 12th pick, like you said, got to sit a year behind Alex Smith. But it's not just that. He went to Andy Reid, and that's a guy who's gotten the most out of Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, Alex Smith, obviously, and now Mahomes. I'm not positive what I think of our new OC. I believe it's the Rams passing game coordinator who will be our OC this year. Thank God it's not Luke Getsy. So that's exciting. But like you said, this is the best situation that a number one overall pick has ever gone into. Ever. Yeah, like think about what Andrew Luck had with the Colts. Like they were 2-14 that year or whatever it was. Yep. You think about Trevor Lawrence with the Jags. Like it takes some time to go get Ridley and Doug Peterson. He went to Urban Meyer, right?
It was so gross. Yeah. Everyone thought Trevor Lawrence was a bust his first year. Yeah.
Even Burrow. Like it takes them a year to go get Jamar Chase and Zach Taylor. Like it takes time for these things. Caleb was like, all right, we're going into a team that had a top five defense the last 8 weeks of the season after they got Montez Sweat. You know, there's expectations, and he's – I don't know. The Notre Dame game comes to mind. I'm not sure if you had a chance to watch that. It was really the only USC game that I fully locked into because it was, like, on NBC, big stage, night game, all this kind of stuff. And he crumbled under the bright lights. Is he the kind of guy that is going to show up in a big city like Chicago and be like, you know, how Jalen Brunson is with the Knicks, like, shines under the bright lights? Or do you think he cowers kind of like Fields does?
Like Fields does. I like the subtle shot at the end there.
I love Fields, but it was just a little bit too big for him.
Fields is nothing compared to Caleb. I mean, Caleb, I don't want to anoint him. I mean, I'm kind of going against myself here, but I think Caleb's already better than Fields is. So I would say yes. I don't think he'll crumble. I think he'll be good. He's going into a tough division. I mean, the Packers beat my team last year. Fuck. The Lions, legit Super Bowl contender. And then, I mean, the Vikings are always kind of scary, I guess. I don't know. I guess we'll get some love for the Vikings, but I think they'll be the fourth team of this division this year. But I don't know. I think he's got it. I think the Bears finally have someone. I mean, they have to turn around right. I mean, they have to turn around sometime. But I guess question for you, what do you think your head coach? Is Eberflus still the guy? I mean, I thought he was gone next year too, or last year.
So I think I probably said it on this pod, but I had like a fake tough guy thing with him where him and Poles, I love Poles now because of the way the Panthers pick ended up working out and the fact that he went out and got Keenan Allen. But like just seeing Eberflus, I was like, this guy has no swag, but he got a new haircut and I'm feeling pretty good about that. Yeah. He's got some gelled slicked back. Like he was sitting next to Matt LaFleur at a game. I can't remember what game it was. Maybe it was like Bulls Bucks or something like that. And he didn't look like a dweeb next to Matt LaFleur, who's like a really dashing, handsome dude, you know, in the Shanahan jury, like just a good looking dude. And I'm like, damn, Eberflus actually looks all right. But like when he came in, I was like, this guy seems like a pussy. Like I can't lie. Like I was just like, I need a tough guy, badass head coach. Like I would love to have somebody like Dan Campbell in that division, especially, or a genius, like a boy genius, like a Shanahan or a Kevin O'Connell, anybody like that. Right. But he's kind of toeing the line between the two of them. I think he does a really good job with the defense. And if he has somebody he can pass the offense along to, somebody from the McVay tree, I feel good about it. But all right. So at number three on your mock draft, you have the Pats taking Marvin Harrison Jr. Make the argument for taking he's the best receiver in this class, right? Is he one of the best receivers that you've seen since you've been doing this the last 8 years?
Yeah, Ralph. He's not just the best receiver in this class. He's the best player in this class. I think he's better than Caleb Williams as well. Easily. I think he's the most surefire receiver. And I always kind of like to go against people, but no. He's for sure the best receiver. Everyone's like Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze are the three of the draft. But Marvin Harrison, and he's way above those two. And I think, honestly, I mean, the reason Caleb's going one is he's quarterback. But if you think about it, there's what? These six QBs, they're going to go first round most likely. How many of them are going to pan out? Maybe three of them are going to pan out and be good.
Right.
You know? So surely a few of them will be busts. If Drake May is drafted there, who the hell is he going to throw to? I mean, I don't know. Here's what I could see happening. They take MHJ at three. Everyone's shocked. And then it goes a lot of chaos and everything. Then they go get Penix maybe or Bo Nix end of first round. They trade back in. That's what I think is their best scenario. I like Bo Nix. A lot of people don't really like him. I really like Penix as kind of a quarterback you can get in the second part of the first round. But I don't know, man. I get it. Quarterback's the main position. You got it. You got to have a good quarterback. But Drake May is going to be throwing to no one. You know?
Nobody.
He's going to throw to no one. Who is it? DeMario Douglas? Who do they even have? I don't even
know. Yeah, Tyquan Thornton, Pop Douglas.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the tight ends that they paid like $18 million to. All right, well, let me ask this. Marvin Harrison Jr. So, you know, you've been doing this for 8 years. You got to see Ja'Marr Chase. Justin Jefferson was kind of, he popped onto the scene, like, and he was like the 22nd pick, whatever it was. But Ja'Marr was probably the one receiver that came in. Everybody's like shitting themselves over. Like, this is the guy, right? You were mad about Phil Simms saying that Caleb's a top 15 quarterback coming in the league day one. Where does Marvin Harrison Jr. fall amongst the receivers day one? Is he like top 32?
Yes, top 32 easily. Yes.
Top 20? Top 16?
See, it's, I would say probably right around there is where I'd really put him right away. But the thing is,
Nico Collins range, that area?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I'm trying to think of another one. Maybe, honestly, I'd put him kind of like with DJ Moore. I think, I mean, I guess you're a Bears fan. You're probably thinking he's a little better than he is. I don't, what do you think of DJ Moore? Do you think he's the one?
I love DJ Moore. Yeah, I think he's a dog.
I think Keenan Allen will still be the one, and DJ Moore is a really good two. A lot of Bears fans think it might be the opposite, but I digress there. But going back to MHJ, I think he's probably top 20. It just really depends who's throwing to him. And I don't – Jacoby Brissett, I know, is kind of trash, but I don't know. I mean, I think that's honestly the ideal situation. MHJ comes in, Jacoby Brissett's throwing to him, they work something around, and then maybe Michael Penix comes in game 8 or 9 of the season. If Michael Penix has the best arm in this draft, in my opinion. He has the best – throw, the smoothest throw, I guess, is a way to put it. So I think that connection I really like, and I just love that he's left-handed. But I don't know. I think MHJ is elite, man. I'd put him above Ja'Marr Chase, too. Ja'Marr Chase was lucky because he went to his college quarterback, so he already had that built-in chemistry, you know? So that helps there. And Justin Jefferson, no one really saw. I mean, he was good, but no one saw him being this good. So, and CeeDee Lamb's up there, too.
But. Yeah, and then he has T. Higgins size. He's 6'4". You said Ja'Marr Chase having the chemistry with Joe Burrow. This won't be Marvin Harrison's first time in a locker room, considering his dad is a Hall of Famer, played in the league quarterback, has the pedigree, obviously has the work ethic. What does Gus Johnson call him? Maserati Marv already has the marketability. He would be the best receiver that they've had since Randy Moss. From a pure physicality standpoint, you have Odunze at number 5 to the Chargers, getting a replacement for Keenan Allen, a weapon for Justin Herbert, somebody that Harbaugh would probably just drool over. What do you like about Odunze over Neighbors?
Over Neighbors, yep. So if you – Odunze just has more experience, I guess. I think he's – if you just watch the tape, man – he just goes up and gets it. He's kind of – I think I compared him to Mike Williams in my draft. I know they lost Keenan Allen, who was the one. But he's kind of a Mike Williams prototype. He just goes up. He's a ball hawk and goes and grabs it. And I think he's – I just think he's got that swagger to him. I love when wide receivers wear the number one. But he's got that speed. He's got that quickness off the bat that I think he's better than Neighbors. I think Neighbors is right there with him. It kind of just depends where they go into it. But I think it'd be cool for him to go to Harbaugh, who he was just going against in the championship game. You know, the last game he played is now his head coach.
Okay, then let's do Neighbors next.
Yeah.
Fastest receiver in the class other than Xavier Worthy, right? Would you like to see him fall? If there's a quarterback, an offensive situation that you think he would excel the most at in like the top 10 to top 15 picks, where do you think that he would be best at?
Yeah, it'd be top 10, top 15, just looking at the teams, thinking it through. Honestly, at 10, if I don't think he's going to fall to the Jets, they'd have to go
up. I was thinking that too.
Yeah, but how sweet would that be for Aaron Rodgers and him? Oh, it would be so sweet. Him and Garrett Wilson on the other side. Oh, man, I think that would be pretty sweet, but I think someone might move up. If Giants stay put, they're for sure taking him. So I think there, but that's the one everyone puts. Him and Daniel Jones just wouldn't be too fun to watch. I think he'd be wasted there. But going to the other New York team, the Jets, oof. I feel for Aaron Rodgers, man. I like Aaron Rodgers. I think it'd be sweet for him to have a weapon like that. I mean, he's never had a first-round receiver.
Never. Literally in his entire career. He had to go to the Jets to get one. Yeah, yeah. Ridiculous.
Literally.
All right, looking at kind of, you know, the less pretty boys on this side of things, Joe Alt is a name that I've heard a lot about going into this. You know, I don't spend a lot of time crushing tape on offensive linemen when it comes to the draft. But then when I'm watching on Sundays, I like, and you know, like guys are doing like their things on Instagram on Monday and Tuesday, yeah, or Monday to morning quarterback. I just love watching offensive lineman tape. Who's your favorite offensive lineman in this class? Because from what I understand, there's some pretty special tackles in this group.
There are, man. There are a lot of special tackles in this group. I would say Joe Ault, but I think that's probably who everyone's picking. Joe Ault is far and above. I'd say there's probably one tier. It's Joe Ault. Tier two is the three boys with the F last names. I don't know. I'm going to mispronounce all of them. Troy Fatanu from Washington. The Ali, who's actually Caleb Williams' high school teammate from Penn State. And then Fuanga are my top. That's tier two for me. And then J.C. Latham from Alabama, tier three. Tyler Guyton. And then Jordan Morgan are kind of right there in tier four. And Amarius Mims. So I just kind of gave you an overview right there. But I would say my favorite, who I'm hoping slips to the Cowboys, is the Washington boy, Troy Fatanu. He can play tackle or guard. I don't think he's going to slip to 24. I don't think he's going to slip to 24. I really hope he does, because the Cowboys could need him. He played tackle at Washington. He'll slide in nicely a guard. He could play tackle. He's just the most versatile lineman. I think he's going to be he's fun to watch. If you want to see some lineman tape you were talking about, go look up his highlights. But then I got to give it to Joe Ault, too. Joe Ault could go at four. I don't think he will, but he could go at four or five. Yeah, he probably won't. Marvin Harrison will be the first non-QB picked. But Joe Ault might be the next one above the other two receivers.
So four would be the Cardinals. Five would be the Chargers for the people not looking at their boards at home.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. All right. Is there any like – I mean, it's like comparing somebody to Mahomes, but is there any tackle in this group that like has the potential to maybe I'll use Rashawn Slater instead. I was going to say Trent Williams, but that sounds sacrilegious. That's the Mahomes of left tackles. Yes. Is there anybody that could come in day one and be like Rashawn Slater was for the Chargers, where he's just, you know, 12, 13 games starting from day one and holding his own against like Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, guys like that?
Yeah, it's Joe Ault. I hate to say it, but it's Joe Ault. He's a Notre Dame boy too. He's got the school, which in my mind is O-line U. If you look up his type, he's all Hawks, around the bitch. Best. Yeah, that's true. Hawkeyes are up there as well, but I think and even Bama. But yep. Joe Ault, I mean, Zach Martin, Quentin Nelson, all these Notre Dame boys are just far and above. So it'd be Joe Ault. But then the other one, I kind of tend to like Notre Dame linemen. Blake Fisher, I have him going in my first round. I think most mocks probably have him third or fourth round, but I think he's going to be a day one starter. So I think that's one name to look out for. And then the other name, I guess, not Trent Williams, Rashawn Slater type, but another name to look out for as a surprise first rounder is the BYU big boy. Kingsley, I'm going to butcher his last name again, Sumatataya or something like that.
Love that.
He's good. Yeah, no, he's good. He's like 6'6", I think, 330. He could be a surprise first rounder in that 28 to 32 range, maybe the Niners. So, yeah, dude, this draft for big boys up front, it's the big boy wide receiver draft. I think I had eight in my first mock, so I wouldn't be surprised to see even more than that go.
And that would be another Samoan dude coming in the league, a la Penei Sewell coming in and just pancaking dudes off the rip. Another great tackle.
And one, yeah, exactly.
So on the other side of the ball, the edge rushers. You know, I've been hearing a lot about Dallas Turner, Jared Verse. Is it Fatuanu? What's the other kid's name? I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Latu out of UCLA.
Which one of those guys do you like the most?
I like Latu a lot. So Dallas Turner is the one everyone sees mocked to number eight. Dallas Turner's, I think, the favorite right now to be the first defensive player off the board. But I would not be surprised to see Latu be the first one at eight for the Falcons right there. I just think he's the quickest. I think he's has the most upside, I guess is one way to put it. The one knock on him is he has a neck injury. He's got a medical history that the team might be afraid of. But I think here's a spot I think he might go. I'm not sure. Let me see who I had going to the Rams. The Rams have their first pick since 2016 in the first round. And I think he could stay in LA, UCLA boy, going to the Rams, which would be sweet, which would be electric. They got to replace, what's his face? Aaron Donald, you know? So, and then I guess just going back, here's another surprise. A real surprise could be the first defensive player off the board, Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yep. Everyone says Tavondre Sweat. He's like, he'll be like fourth round pick essentially, but his interior mate, Byron Murphy out of Texas, man, he's good. He's the real deal. And he could even go as high as eight to the Falcons there, you know?
And he's an interior defensive lineman, right? Yes. So you think Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, guys in that range that are just over the center, just trying to get to the quarterback as quickly as possible, collapsing the pocket, right? Yep. Big boy. Yep. He's an eater. So that'd be fun. Yeah, got to replace Aaron Donald at some point.
Right, exactly. Right in that range. And like I said, it's always tough to find. That's kind of a position. It's I feel like easy to miss on or maybe address later in the draft. But it's important, man, the defensive tackle position. If you can find a guy like Byron Murphy, I think he could potentially be as – I don't want to say as good as Aaron Donald, but he could be an all-pro for sure in the first couple of years.
So we've kind of covered, you know, the core positions, quarterback, yep, wide receiver, offensive tackle, and edge rusher. I feel like this year is the one year that I've heard the least about cornerbacks.
Yes.
Right? That's kind of the last core position. You got the edge rushers and offensive tackles that go against each other. Who covers the receivers? The fucking corners. Is there a single can't-miss corner in this class?
You know, I really want to say Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. I think he resembles Sauce, man. He resembles Sauce Gardner. That's the one. I think he'll be the first corner taken. I think he really will be. But no, to answer your question, I don't think there is a can't miss, or I don't think there's a prospect that's surefire. That's a Sauce Gardner, you know, that's that type of player. Because there's not going to be a corner in the top 10. There's probably not going to be a corner in the top 15. And I really wouldn't be shocked if there's not a top corner in the top 20 even. That first corner we could see go at 22 to Philadelphia, or let me just look at the teams here. You know, maybe, yeah, 22 to Philadelphia, maybe 23 if the Vikings, the Cardinals are there with the trade everyone's projecting. But that's the thing with this cornerback draft is there's really not – there's a lot of good guys that can be day one starters, but they could be – it's boom or bust really.
So there's no Sertan, there's no Sauce.
No Sertan, that's another good one, yep. No.
But there are some boomer busts, like you say, so some difference makers. So let's talk about the two guys from our schools, DJ yep. Tampa and Cooper DeJean. Yep. Which one do you like more?
I didn't know the answer.
Okay, all right, fine. What do you like about Tampa?
He's big, man. He's big. I'm a little biased for the listeners. I'm an Iowa State grad. I know Ralph's a Hawkeye, so – I think TJ Tampa is very underrated. I don't think he's going to go first round. I obviously want him to go first round, but I don't know. I just think he's versatile. If he's put into the right scheme, the right scheme fit, I think he could easily be a good lockdown corner, cornerback one. And then Cooper DeJean, as much as I want to hate on the guy, he's going to be good too. He's going to be cold. If he's put in the right system, I think he'll be an all-pro punt returner probably the first year wherever he goes. They'd be stupid not to put him at punt return. To bag on your school a little bit, he was their best scorer, and he was played defense, you know? So, I don't know. It's just – I think Cooper DeJean is going to probably be the first white corner taken in the first round, probably ever. But he just has the instincts, and he's an Iowa boy too, isn't he? He's from some small town in Iowa.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think Cooper DeJean, outside shot to be the first corner taken, probably not. I think he'll probably be around probably the third or fourth corner taken. But he's a surefire round one lock. TJ Tampa is not a round one lock, but he should be. Yeah.
I think he would be best serviced, DeJean, with a defensive coordinator or a defensive-minded head coach who wants to use him as a weapon. Think about how, like, the Charger – like, I don't think he's, like, a Sertan or a Sauce that's going to, you know, blanket one side of the field. You got to use him like the Chargers use Derwin James. Like, put him at safety, put him in the nickel – blitz
in the
him,
nickel, is what I was
put him
say.
At corner, put him wherever the fuck you want, and just tell him to make plays. And he doesn't have to play every game, every snap, but like, you know, 65-70% of the snaps just going all out. I think that's where he would be at his best.
You know where I'd see a great spot, which is very likely, is the Detroit Lions at what, 29 is that? I honestly don't know if he'll last that long, but if he lasts that long, I would not be shocked for Dan Campbell to take him. Dan Campbell likes the Hawkeyes. He took two last year, so... I think that'd be a real good fit for him, and it'd be pretty
him,
sweet.
Brian Branch, yeah.
Him, Brian Branch, yep.
Where's Seattle at in this draft? Because I think Dan Quinn is a guy that would he would love that motherfucker.
Dan Quinn, Seattle, or
yeah, Dan Quinn, your guys is DC. He went to Seattle. Their new head coach. Oh, did you go to Washington? Oh, yeah. Shit. All right, then Washington's way too high to take him then, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. Dan Quinn would love him. That'd be – honestly, he slips around too, but he's not slipping around too. Yeah.
Okay, another position that I just literally don't hear anything about. You know, Bijan Robinson was a, what, top seven pick last year? The Falcons, who kind of go against the grain, take a tight end at number 4 or 5, or whatever it was in Kyle Pitts, take Bijan really high. Are there any good running backs in this class? Like, I know Corum. I don't know really anybody else at the running back position. I guess there was the Wisconsin kid, but those were just Big Ten guys that I've ran into. But I don't know about any other ones.
Yeah, Braylon Allen will not be good in my opinion. Braylon Allen can't catch the ball. But, no, Jonathan Brooks would be the one. There will not be a running back for round one. That would shock me. That would shock everyone. There might not even be a running back round two. But damn. Jonathan Brooks would be the top running back. I probably wouldn't even put him in the top 50 prospects, to be honest. He tore his ACL, unfortunately. I think it was late December or late November. So that kind of hurts him a little bit. But he would most likely be the top running back taken out of Texas. Trey Benson would be another one out of Florida State, if you remember that name. He was actually – he went to Oregon for his first couple of years, didn't do much there, and then went to Florida State for 2 years and kind of popped off. And he would be good. I think he'll be good. And then who else do we got? Corum, like you mentioned. Bucky Irving out of Oregon will be good. Great name. It's just really – the thing – yeah, it's a great name, great running back name. The thing is with running backs, though, it's just – if it's a scheme fit, if it works, they could be a 1,000-yard rusher right away, you know? So, and my team, the Cowboys, needs a running back badly.
I was just going to say, you guys needed running back at some point. Like, where would you want them to take one? Because, like, if there aren't any, you know, spectacular ones, there's no Saquon, there's no Bijan, are you going to wait until day two and then get one, you know, in the third round? And if you did, who would it be?
Yeah. See, the thing is, honestly, third round would be ideal for me for Cowboys. My ideal Cowboys draft would be, just position-wise, not even name, would be tackle round one, center slash guard round two, because those are so needy for the Cowboys, and then running back round three. And running back round three, we could get Bucky Irving easily, Trey Benson. I really don't like Jonathan Brooks too much. I think he's probably the best running back in this class, but I like Trey Benson a little more. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee is another name to watch.
Yep.
So one, I'm telling you, one of these guys, they're put in the right scheme. They'll be a running back. They'll be an RB1 by week 5 and be a 1,000-yard rusher. And next year, they're going to be – the year after next, they're going to be a top 10 pick in fantasy. It's just really where they fit. The thing with the NFL nowadays is the running back position is just pretty much not even a thing anymore. So, I mean, you have to be a pass catcher, and most of these guys are. So – it'll be interesting. The one you said, Braylon Allen, is not. That's why he sucks in my mind.
Well, yeah, it's running back by committee, right? Like Gibbs goes in the first round last year, and everybody's drafting him in their fantasy draft. So, like, you know, top 20 picks. And then the first, like, 6 weeks of the season, they're like, why the fuck did I take him in the top 20? Yeah, and then he starts to blow up a little bit more in the second half of the season, has a good playoff game, and it's just it's history from there. All right, let's do tight ends. So everybody knows Brock Bowers. Projected first round pick should be top 15, top 16 pick. What's his best situation? And then who are the other best tight ends? Because, you know, I'm coming from a school that's tight end you. I think it's one of the most coveted positions in football, or at least it should be, because if you have a really fucking good one, we see how far you can make it. Look at the two teams in the Super Bowl. Yeah, Kittle and Kelsey. They're difference makers, right? Yeah. At the end of the day, I mean, even Laporta with the Lions, like they made it to the conference championship. Or even Mark Andrews and Likely on the Ravens. Like all four of those teams that were in that final four had good tight ends. Where would you want to see Bowers fall? And then who are the other best tight ends?
Yeah, no, I mean, you spoke my mind just for that point. The two best tight ends in the National Football League were in the championship. And obviously it's the team around them as well, but it is a very important position, tight end U. It is Iowa right now. Yeah, I will say that. Eric Gall is a name from Iowa. I know he was a Michigan boy first, right? But he'll be good. I think he was injury, so I won't say him. But Ben Sinnott is another name I would say out of Kansas State. I fucking hated him when he faced Iowa State. He's just dude. He is a good blocker. One thing he's better at Brock Bowers than is blocking. Brock Bowers is pretty much a glorified wide receiver. He's a great receiver, but he's not the best blocker. So Ben Sinnott, who do we got? Cade Stover out of Ohio State. Theo Johnson out of Penn State. I think those will be, if they're put in the right situation, they'll be good. But to go back to your earlier question, Brock Bowers, best situation, it's got to be what's being projected, the Jets at 10, you know, with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers needs a good tight end, and, I mean, every receiver-type player would love to play with Aaron Rodgers. So that's obviously his best situation. If he gets past 10, I could see him going to the Broncos at 12. I know a lot of people are thinking that's going to be a QB, but I don't know. If their guy's not there, and a lot of people are saying Bo Nix, if their guy's not there, Brock Bowers could definitely go to the Broncos at 12 and have Zach Wilson slinging the ball for now. But, yeah, his Brock Bowers' best situation is by far 10 to the Jets.
Or okay, even, then
I was going to say the Chargers, but they're not going to be. If they go to 11, if they get trade out and they go
if they trade 11, back, that's yeah. What I was thinking too. It's, I mean, because all right, he has to go to a system with a creative offensive coordinator. I mean, we just mentioned Kelce and Kittle, but they have Reed and Shanahan. Right,
yeah, exactly. Pitts
goes to Atlanta, and I don't even know. It was Arthur Smith was his offensive coordinator.
Yep.
And as great as he was in Tennessee, all he really had to do was give the ball to Derrick Henry, and didn't prove to be able to do that in Atlanta. So, God, I really just don't want to see another Pitt situation. I'm hoping that he can blow up this year because he's so fucking fun to watch when he's on top of
Isn't he? He was so sick at Florida. He was, yeah. But
all right, give me I've got actually a couple of questions. So, two names. One name that I heard not as much this year in college football, and then one year that I heard a lot in college football that I expected to be talked about more in the draft. I'll give you that guy first. I believe it's Keon Coleman, the wide receiver out of Florida State. When I watched him on Saturdays, I was like, this dude's a fucking freak. And I haven't heard his name mentioned once in first-round mocks. Maybe he's a second-rounder. I'm not sure. But why isn't he in the conversation with Odunze, BTJ, Neighbors? Nobody's in a conversation with Marvin, I don't think, but why isn't he up there with those guys? What's holding him back?
He's a little slow, if I remember correctly. I think he ran like a 4.6 something, but I wouldn't say he could easily be in the first round. I've seen Moxham in the first round. He's a lock for the second round. Keon Coleman was sick at Florida State. I mean, he was electric. I think he went to Michigan State. He was a Michigan State transfer.
Yeah.
Came to Florida State. But I mean, I think he led the ACC in touchdowns. I mean, he was just electric. So he could easily be a wide receiver one if he's put in the right system. I know I keep saying that. I keep seeing him mock to the Panthers, so the first pick of the second draft, which I would hate. I would just hate that if that happens, to be honest with you. So I see that, and then I see him meeting the second round to, I think, 36 or whatever the Patriots pick is. So let's say the Patriots take Drake May at 3, Keon Coleman be the first pick for them, which I think would be electric. I think that'd be really good. Keon Coleman really needs a good quarterback. So, I mean, I think he had Jordan Travis most of the year, which very, very, very much helped him. So, and I know the top receivers all had good QBs except Marvin Harrison. But the thing is with Keon Coleman, he could be a boom or bust. He's good, but he could easily just be a bust. He might be one of those guys that just had a fantastic senior season and propelled himself into the second round, but I like him a lot too. I like Florida State. So Jimmy Wilson, the other receiver from Florida State.
So you mentioned him at the front of the second round.
Yes.
The last pick in the first round belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs. You had in your first mock, Ladd McConkey landing there. Is he a better fit with Mahomes than Keon Coleman? Who would you rather see in a Chiefs uniform?
Well, I hate the Chiefs, so I'd rather see neither. But I would say, because I like both of them. I'd rather see Ladd McConkey in a Chiefs uniform. I mean, he was electric. He was just kind of quietly one of the best receivers in the league. He was the best receiver on the best team the whole year, and then they lost in the SEC championship, didn't need to go. But Ladd McConkey, I think, should easily be a first-round receiver. The thing is, with this receiver class, it's just so deep that I know we kind of say that each year, but this year is really deep. I could see upwards of maybe even 30 some receivers get drafted, which is crazy. And then maybe let's say 15 in the first 2 days. So, and Ladd McConkey, I think, deserves to be in that top 7 range.
Well, there's two things on top of that. First one, is he your prototypical wide receiver? Is he like a slot guy, like an Edelman or a Welker?
No, I think, are you saying that because of the color of his skin?
Yeah, is he just a fucking white guy that plays in the slot, or is he like, is there something more to him? Because I don't really, I mean, I didn't watch a lot of Georgia this year. Like that, they weren't like appointment viewing for me.
No, I would say yes and no. I think he can be a good wide receiver. I don't think he can be a good wide receiver one the very first year, but I think he could develop into that if he has a really good quarterback. He does do well in the slot. He does play the best in the slot. He's real quick off the line. He's real. He's the best, probably one of the best route runners in this draft for sure. So I think his 40 was like in the 4.3s as well. So he's got the speed. He's got the prototypical slot ability, but I think he can also get on the outside. The one knock on him is his height. I think he's only 6'1" maybe. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason that we're seeing these really deep wide receiver classes year in, year out, I mean, it is. I feel like the rest of our lives, every class is going to be like, wow, this receiver class is so deep. Yes. It's because of like these kids now. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys are born post 2000 when the 7-on-7 camps are more popular than ever. And these kids are learning how to become wide receivers at like 6, 7, 8 years old. Like, for example, we had a basketball tournament last weekend, and I'm missing one of my guards because he went to a 7-on-7 camp in Dallas. Yes. And it's like, you went all the way to fucking Dallas to play in a 7-on-7 camp. He's a legit receiver, all those kinds of things. Solid basketball player too. Love my boy Miles. But it's like they're learning like the ins and outs of like how to break off a route, how to, you know, get off of a jam from a corner like at the line of scrimmage. They're learning these things so young. Like Malik Nabers has been raised his entire life to be a wide receiver, whereas you know, even like 10 years ago, these guys were multi-sport athletes playing basketball, playing baseball. Yep. They didn't spend every single waking moment of their life trying to think about, okay, what do I do against cover three? Like, but now they're thinking about that critically. And I think he's like a great example of it. It's just like, you know, a white dude got to play at Georgia, came out and hooped. And now we're going to have what is, it looks like we're gonna have 7 wide receivers out of the top 32 picks.
Yeah. It's crazy. Here's another, going off that, another white boy receiver that don't think he's going to slip in the first round, but I think he'll easily be a second rounder. Latest is a third rounder, is Ricky Pearsall out of
Florida kid. Love him.
He is sick. So he went to Arizona State. He was teammates with Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. Both transferred, both went off. He is just electric. If anyone listening wants to see the best catch of last year, it's against, I think it's against Charlotte. It's against some real small school. Yeah. One-handed, it is the craziest catch ever. So he will be electric. I think he's a really good receiver. And I mean, like you said, this receiver class is just crazy, crazy athletic, crazy good, you know. And it's going to keep going, like you said, just because it's the flashiest position, it's the most hype position for kids, and you know, to get that clout, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the possession that you put your best athlete at, other than like when you're in fifth, sixth grade, it's running back. And when you get to high school, it's like, put him at fucking wide receiver. Let's just throw it up to him. Exactly. All right. The one positions or two positions we haven't touched on yet, really. These are my two favorite positions. Like, other than quarterback, I love middle linebackers and safeties. Like, when I play Madden, I love to ball hawk with a safety. That's just my thing. So I love, you know, Jaquan Brisker, Derwin James, Justin Simmons, Kevin Byard. Those are my kinds of guys. But then, like, the last of a dying breed, the Roquan Smiths, the Fred Warners, the Patrick Queens, Bolton, Willie Gay, all those kinds of guys. Who's the best linebacker in this class?
Best linebacker or safety? Linebacker and the best linebacker in this class?
Yeah, I'm off a ball. Not like an edge rusher, not a Sam, not a Will, but somebody that's going to be, like, in the mic of the defense.
Yeah, I would say Peyton Wilson out of I think he was the ACC Player of the Year, actually, out of NC State. Yeah, no one's talking about him. White boy. He kind of just popped off this year. I want to say
neck he roll? Let the... Does he rock a neck roll?
I don't think so. Does he rock a neck
fucking
roll?
Fucking pussy.
Yeah, no. He's sick, though. If you want to see good highlights, look up Peyton Wilson highlights. He's sweet. He doesn't – I think he rocks number, like, 11, I want to say. But, yeah, no, he's the real deal. I think he could be a day one starter, kind of like a Jack Campbell type with Iowa, the Lions. So him, and then Edrin Cooper is pretty good out of Texas A&M. And then, what's his name? Jeremiah Trotter out of Clemson. He's been sick for the last couple of years. Yeah, he's been sweet for the last couple of years. He, if you look up mocks from last year, like way too early mocks, he'll be in the first round every time. He had a little bit of a down year this year, so that's kind of why he slipped. He probably won't go first round, and he plays a position where it's just not a first round position anymore, which kind of sucks.
Okay, and then give me safeties, a strong safety, a free safety to look out for.
Yeah, safety. Here's a name you would be kind of sweet, who could be good this year, is Cole Bishop out of Utah. If you've heard that name, white boy, another white boy.
You love white guys, dude. This is just like a common trend for you. Like, I know who you are. If you're drafting for a team, like, your entire fucking roster would just be white kids.
Yeah, obviously. No, definitely not. I was going to say him. Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota is really good. He could be a surprise first rounder. Probably not. Probably not. And then Javon Bullard out of Georgia is another name to watch out for. Those are kind
he's
of
not
the
white,
top.
I'm guessing. Javon Bullard. Okay. Yeah.
He's not out of Georgia. No, he's definitely not white. And then another name that could even be available round four, day three, could be Jaden Hicks. He could honestly go second round, third round out of Washington State, but he can line up over the slot. I think he's like 6. I think he's like 6'3", maybe. He's kind of a bigger boy at safety, but he can move. He's sweet. I think he could be maybe the best safety out of this class if he's put in the right system with the right coordinator.
I mean, we saw Brian Branch go pretty early last year. I think he was early second round to the Lions. Yep. Exploded. He was awesome. So fun to watch. All right. I actually forgot to ask you about the other guy that I had heard a lot about him a couple of years ago. I remember him even being mocked like top five. I think he's kind of like the Jake Locker of this class, except he has like – it's Spencer Rattler. What happened to Spencer Rattler? Goes from Oklahoma to South Carolina. Could he be a good pro? And like what's the story with him? Why isn't he considered, because I thought he had all the arm talent in the world. I thought he was really annoying. Like all the criticisms about Caleb Williams and like him off the field, I could give a shit less about that when I see how good he is on the field. Rattler, I actually apply it to. I'm like, oh, this kid's just like way too cocky for how not good he is.
He is way too. That's honestly it. It's a little bit of character issues there. And he didn't test well at the combine, but he can escape the pocket. He can throw the ball. He could be honestly, he could be a starter next year even. One team I'd look out for with Rattler is the Denver Broncos. If they don't take a quarterback first round, Spencer Rattler, round two, day three, he could be a starter. I mean, Spencer Rattler versus Zach Wilson, I think I'm probably going to take Spencer Rattler still.
I'll take anybody against Zach Wilson. I'm taking myself over that dude at this point.
Honestly, man. So, I mean, yeah, Spencer Rattler, he's good. I really don't like the kid, to be honest. At Oklahoma, I kind of just hated him. And then he went to South Carolina. He played a little bit better at South Carolina. But like you said, 2 years ago, he was this kid's the future first overall pick.
He was Caleb, yeah.
He was – yes, exactly. He was Caleb Williams, and then Caleb Williams came in and took his spot. But I don't know. Spencer Rattler, I think, is still good. He's still got that talent. I mean, I think if you look up his high school recruiting, he was still like a top five recruit, wasn't he? So he's still got the recruit. He'll still be in the league for a while. If he's just put in the right situation, he could easily be a starter in the
Broncos thing could go two ways too. That's interesting because it's like they just got rid of Russell Wilson, who was a locker room cancer. Like he thought that was his organization. Everybody couldn't stand him. And now you could bring in Rattler, and it's like, at least he's not Russell Wilson. Or the players in that locker room could be like, we literally just got rid of Russell Wilson. Now we have fucking Spencer Rattler coming in. So, I don't know. Like, I only heard about the character issues when he was at Oklahoma. Maybe he fixed them at South Carolina. I'm not sure. All right, but before we get out of here, you mentioned a way too early mock draft. We have this one. Thank you for doing this. This has been great. Have fun at the draft. But – call your shot next year's draft. Let's go top three picks for next year's draft. Or just give me number one first, and then we can do two and three.
Top three. Well, I want to say Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado. He'll be the top quarterback taken if he plays anywhere near he played this year. And then I'm blanking on the name. The Tennessee DN he could easily be the top pick next year. Let me look up his name. I'm just blanking on it. Will Campbell, tackle out of LSU. He'll be a top 10 pick too. It's really just it kind of depends. Like I said, it's always kind of funny reading the mocks of the way too early. It's always released the day after. And I actually read the 2024 one. I think like half of them are going to be first rounders. Half of them aren't even going to be in the draft. Half of them are going to be seventh rounders. So it's really tough to determine, but those would be the two I would say, Shedeur Sanders and then Will Campbell out of LSU.
Shedeur, Will Campbell. All right, everybody knows Shedeur. Will Campbell will be somebody to look out for on Saturdays. Yeah. Travis Hunter, receiver and corner. Can't wait for that. That's going to be an experience in the NFL. He might have another year before he gets to go, too. I'm not sure. But all right. Well, thank you for doing this. Enjoy your day on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. This is a 3-day experience.
Watch it.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Oh, this is the best time
James
of the year.
James Pierce. That's who I was blanking on.
James Pierce
out of Tennessee. That's who you need to look out for. He's good. Yeah. And yeah, he's real good, man. He's legit.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you. We love you. And we will see you guys on the other side. Enjoy the NBA playoffs. Enjoy the NFL draft. Peace out. I'm loving the pop-off.